Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard.
Come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. And in 40 minutes, is there any way that Tua Tagovailoa becomes the franchise quarterback in Dallas? I will unfold for you a potential series of events that could lead us to Tua and the Cowboys. That's coming up this hour here on the show. Next hour, Solomon Wilcott will join us from Pro Football Focus. We'll talk to him about the group of free agent quarterbacks and what could be quarterback carousel this offseason and where they rank from a statistical standpoint. Also, it's a target demo Friday. So we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening. Send those to us via Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. You'll see the meme where Dave Matthews is playing in front of a giant fresco and dozens of trinkets and bracelets are in front of him. We are honoring Andrew Bogish's trip to Cancun for his 40th birthday last weekend with our meme today. So let me ask this question. Is it possible that the Astros, as a young team coming up through the MLB, has a bunch of guys who are starstruck by an aging elder statesman, perennial all-star, and potential Hall of Famer, and he's the one that convinces them to begin cheating against their will? This is a theory floated by baseball reporter John Heyman, who I have had my run-ins with via MLB Network. Heyman tweeted this yesterday. What I hear in the Astros clubhouse, they were convinced by a very veteran star player. I like the idea of a very veteran. That, quote, everyone was doing it. Steamrolled is way too strong a word. Starstruck might fit better. Feels like they're not sure what to make of that now. They were a young, impressionable team. Well, I have to say, I did not expect this take from my Astros spring training day 95 coverage yesterday. So the Astros are trying to convince us, or maybe themselves, that a very veteran star player convinced a young, impressionable team that, quote, everyone was doing it, and that they were starstruck by this player. Wow. Now that is a tale. That is a rationalization. That is an amazing theory to try to convince yourselves of. When Heyman cites steamrolled is too strong a word, he is clearly referencing a story that Carlos Beltran steamrolled the Astros clubhouse into their extensive cheating. Can you believe this is the new story they're trying to sell? I mean, the Astros are amazing. And this is what Heyman is reporting from inside the Astros clubhouse. So somebody in the Astros clubhouse is telling him this. We would guess a player, maybe a coach, but let's just say it's a player. That the Astros, bunch of 20-somethings, starting to get their first taste of success, have Carlos Beltran in that clubhouse telling them, hey, this is what everybody's doing. And they are starstruck by Beltran to the point where they ignore their own instincts and begin this extensive process of cheating. This is an amazing tale. It's an amazing tale. What we are learning on a daily basis is that the Astros are absolutely awful liars, and they are grasping at straws here. When the Astros say, like Jim Crane did, we don't think it affected outcomes. When Carlos Correa says Jose Altuve didn't want his jersey torn off because he had an ugly tattoo. When a player tells a reporter, we were starstruck by Carlos Beltran as a young, impressionable team. What does this all say? It's not our fault. It's not our fault. It's not our fault. It's not our fault. And this has been the very essence of the Astros. Since this has come out, the very essence has been blame, deny, blame, deny, and create all types of alternate universes. I mean, could you imagine being, let's just say, Jose Altuve, and having been in Major League Baseball for the previous 3 or 4 seasons, and Carlos Beltran says, hey, you know what, we should try to do this. And Jose Altuve going, yeah, I've never heard of anybody do that before. We've never done that before. But, oh, my God, it's Carlos Beltran. We should totally do it. Come on. Also, by the way, this is ignoring that the Astros brass had a program called Code Breaker, and they were sending emails that were entitled The Dark Arts.
Wow. Look at Beltran's eyes. They're so dreamy. What is he saying? Sure, bang on the trash can. Ah, he'll try to do... Wow. He's really beautiful. Have you ever seen him in the 2006 World Series? He's just amazing.
Come on. Come on, do we really believe a bunch of 20-something baseball players are so young and impressionable they don't know what cheating is? And that a front office that had a program developed by a member of the front office who quickly got promoted and sent an email to the GM that said Dark Arts was just about,
wow, look, it's Luke Perry in our clubhouse telling us all about his days at 90210 and how to cheat extensively to wait on the breaking ball. Wow.
Come on. This is the story now. We were steamrolled. We were starstruck. We were young. We were impressionable. It was Carlos Beltran's fault. Whew. This Astros team is getting more and more embarrassing by the day. And frankly, I think the reporting of this is somewhat embarrassing. Somebody can tell you this, and even repeating it is kind of embarrassing. The Astros were starstruck? Starstruck.
Wow, remember when Carlos didn't swing on the final pitch of the 06 NLCS? Oh, he's so dreamy. What's he saying about trash cans? Yeah, let's do that. He must know.
Come on. This is where they're at. This is where they're at. This is where they're at. Oh, God. Pathetic. Truly pathetic. Truly, truly pathetic. And to add on top of that, the story that Jim Crane told associates, don't worry, this will blow over by spring training. This will blow over. I really don't think anybody's going to be that mad. I think there's not going to be a lot of attention on it. I think we're fine. It's going to blow over. Blip on the radar. Extensive report done by Major League Baseball. GM suspended and fired. Manager suspended and fired. Rest of baseball, hair on fire. Hate the Astros. I think it's going to blow over, everybody. Don't worry. We don't need a PR plan. We'll be just fine. Is it not amazing how stupid billionaires can be? I mean, usually most billionaires have made their money by doing something somewhat smart. Now, some of them inherit all of their money, but most of them do something slightly intelligent to make some of that money, if not all of that money, maybe doubling or tripling or quadrupling their money or taking some money and making it into something else. If you are rich enough to own a baseball team and you bought it, you didn't inherit it, usually you're smart enough in some level to deal with a situation. And here is Jim Crane going, not that big a deal, everybody. Don't need the advice. I know you guys think it's going to be a big deal. It's not. What a bunch of jabrones. That is a front office, an owner, and a clubhouse filled with stooges. Mraz, how do you think that went with Carlos Beltran as the heartthrob inside that clubhouse, the Justin Bieber, the Zac Efron, and all of these guys going, wow, it's Carlos. He must know what he's talking about.
I just don't understand how any baseball player ever could look at anybody as kind of a heartthrob and be in awe of them. And that includes A-Rod or Jeter or, you know, I mean, Carlos Beltran, really good player, probably a Hall of Famer, but like a guy that you would drool over when his presence there walks through your clubhouse?
Or a guy you would trust if he told you to cheat and you knew cheating was wrong.
I would never view Carlos Beltran as that. How could any of these players view him as how? How could Dallas Keuchel look at Carlos Beltran with that beard hanging down with pieces of turkey and squash stuck in there and go, well, Carlos is telling the team to cheat. We better cheat. How could it happen? It makes no sense whatsoever.
It's such a bad excuse. Can you believe how many...
I actually don't believe it.
How many different ways they've tried to put salad dressing on this turd?
Well, that's an, you know, for somebody intermittent fasting, that's an interesting way to put food. yes! Just stop
it! They're trying everything!
Whatever happened to just owning something and being accountable?
They can't do it.
They can't
do it.
They
don't know how to do it.
I've been doing it for years. It's not that hard to do.
You've written the book on taking accountability.
Exactly. Just sit up there and go, I would even settle for this. I'll be honest with you. This would be, to me, the thing that fixes everything. If at the beginning they would have just said, hey, we were doing it. We felt like our signs are being stolen. We just came up with a more elaborate plan. Maybe it just got out of hand and we didn't realize we got to the point where we crossed the line. If they say that,
boom.
Even as a fan, you go, you guys suck, you cheated, but I could live with that. And that's the end of it.
Yes.
You've owned doing it. You gave reason for doing it. And you own the fact that you realized it was wrong and it was a bad reason. That's it. No heartthrobs, no nothing else. Clean hands and we're on opening day.
Neck tattoos.
I mean, come on.
Why not just say, as an organization, you know, we thought most of baseball was doing this. We had access to really good technology. We got caught in it. We kept pushing the envelope. It went too far. We should have checked ourselves. We did not. We feel terrible about this. We do feel like we have a good team. We'll have to prove it on the field this year. But we understand that we went too far with this. And there's no retort. You couldn't argue with that. If Jim Crane goes to the podium and says, we feel awful about this, our players are going to be held accountable. They'll be all at this podium for 20 minutes at a time. As long as they need to answer questions, they will be here answering questions. I am ultimately accountable. I was the owner. I should have known more. We feel awful about this, and we have to prove it on the field from here on out. Well, fine, Jim Crane can walk out of there, and you go, all right, they get it. You know, people would be mad, but they'd get it. But every step of the way is a mealy-mouth rationalization of why it's not so bad, why it didn't affect the thing on the field, why it wasn't really their fault, how everybody was doing it, how nobody really knows the truth, how it was about neck tattoos and heartthrobs. It's amazing. This organization is amazingly bad at taking ownership. Amazingly bad. They're amazingly bad at kind of all of this besides the cheating part. And look, they better win a lot of games this year. I mean, could you imagine if they go 81-81? Could you imagine if they don't win the division? Could you imagine if they don't make the playoffs? How ugly that will make all of their winning look?
And see, and that's going to be the next part of that I think as a sports media, everybody needs to be involved, needs to turn the page and look at seriously. Number one, they were always going to take a step back because they lost Gerrit Cole, and Gerrit Cole had won a lot of big games for them. Number two, with this constant question in their face and constant, you're going to view playing the Astros, if you're an opponent, like it's your World Series, right? You want, if there's this much hatred now, when that three-game series rolls around, you want to beat those guys. That means everything. How can a team psychologically survive that and win that many games where, you know, and if they go 81-81, what's everybody going to say at the end going, well, see, you guys couldn't cheat and now you can't win?
Totally.
When in reality, it just may be the pressure of everything that's come together here that's causing them that. I don't know how you look at the Houston Astros, knowing everything we know, and think that this team is going to win 95 games and win the division right now.
Well, this is what makes this 162-game fascinating endeavor by the Houston Astros. Either they're going to shove it in everybody's face and prove that they don't need to cheat and they were always great, and there's going to be those stats that are out there that show their home road splits. In some situations, they actually won more games on the road than at home, and that there are some of these guys that hit better on the road, and they're going to push that in people's faces, that we never needed this, and we're proving it right now. If they win 100 games this year and go to the World Series and win, they're going to have shoved it in everybody's face that they never needed it, and they were right, and it's going to drive everybody up a wall. And if they don't, it's the ultimate collapse. It's the ultimate pie in your face. See? You needed to cheat to win, and once you couldn't, you're a bunch of bums. So this season for the Astros is so extreme on both sides. They are the ultimate villains and can shove it right up everybody's tailpipe, or they're going to take total egg in the face, and there's going to be no in between. None. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, we are stunned to a news. DA, Morning Mothership, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Odd. Like, have you ever seen a baby named Todd in the last 30 years, by the way? What an ugly baby that must look like. Hey, look at little Todd here. You want to hold Todd? You want to milk Todd? I mean, what are we doing here?
You want to milk Todd?
Oh, no, I think Todd milks.
No. No, none of that is right.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
This weekend, two full days of college basketball on CBS. A Saturday tripleheader begins at noon Eastern. Tennessee at 13th-ranked Auburn. Then a Sunday afternoon doubleheader, including Big East action. St. John's at number 16, Seton Hall, followed by 7th-ranked Maryland, meeting number 25, Ohio State. The march of the tournament is only on CBS. It's a Target Demo Friday. Let us know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're doing, either on Twitter or Facebook. And I'll read through those coming up here next hour on the show. On Twitter, it's DA on CBS. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheDAShow. Road to October tweets, DA Ortiz was right. Fires waited until he no longer benefited from the cheating to say something. It's not heroic. It was hypocritical and cowardly. Now, it should be noted that Road to October is a big Red Sox fan. Meantime, Violet tweets, at least Mike Fiers did the right thing eventually, even if it was too late. That doesn't make him a snitch. It takes strength to come forward like that. Look, here's how I think of it. Anybody that subscribes to the whole snitch thing is a total hypocrite, and here's why. Because let's just say your bank was robbed. Let's just say your account was drained. Let's just say your money got stolen. And then after the heist, the authorities start questioning people, and one of the guys involved in the heist cops. And they tell you where the money is. And now suddenly you get all of your money back. They had committed a crime, but one guy breaks, says, you know what? This was wrong. We took money from innocent people. Here's where the money is. And you get your money back. Are you sitting here going, you know what? That guy's a snitch. He shouldn't have done that. You know, you were part of the crime. Just keep your mouth shut. I don't need my money, man. That's the code. Of course not. All of the people that benefit from the snitching go, yeah, you know what? He did the right thing. Only when you are totally detached and have absolutely no dog in the fight do you go, you know what? There's a code out there, man. You shouldn't snitch. It's asinine. It's totally asinine. 100% asinine. Nobody really believes in a code if it affects them. So you're saying ultimately, don't ever do the right thing. If you did the wrong thing, you made a mistake, don't ever cop to the mistake. What you should always do is go to your grave with every mistake you've ever made and never, ever, ever admit it. It's asinine. It's stupid. Anybody that thinks like that is a Neanderthal and a moron. And a hypocrite, because you know if they could benefit from it, they would applaud it. Like, in murder cases, are you happy when somebody that knows what happened says something so that justice prevails? Or would you just rather that every unsolved crime remains unsolved for the rest of time? Would you just prefer that every unsolved murder mystery remains unsolved forever? You know what? If you did the crime, don't ever say anything. It's stupid. Of course not. Everybody wants justice, ultimately, in things that they care about. David Ortiz doesn't care anymore because he's not affected. Pedro Martinez doesn't care anymore because he's not affected. All of the guys that were affected in the league right now care. It's the guys that aren't in the league anymore that don't care.
No, man, there's a code. There's a real code, you know?
Okay, so Mike Fiers, by the way, Mike Fiers in the middle of a clubhouse needs to step up and say, I know the manager can't stop this, but I'm going to stop it. I know the manager has said that he doesn't agree with this, but you know what? I'm bigger than the manager here. So that's a realistic course of action. So people say, well, he should demand a trade. Sure, that's a great idea. So that the entire league now looks at you as a troublemaker because you can't then say, according to the code, why you want to be traded. Right? If it's a code, you guys are all like, oh, no way, there's a code here. Can't snitch. So then Mike Fiers just needs to say quietly, as an agent, I need you to demand a trade here. And then everybody goes, oh, man, you're so selfish. And everybody around the league goes, why does he want out? They're a really good baseball team. Oh, see, he can't fit in with even a winner. Where exactly is the right course of action here? Like, asinine idiots are going to sit here and be like, Mike Fiers should have stood up in the middle of that clubhouse, demanded it all stop, demanded to be traded, and just like have put a stop to everything. Right, so the wheels of motion of an entire organization and an entire league should stop at the feet of Mike Fiers. Uh-huh, right, because that's realistic. I mean, come on. People that have that take need to grow up and realize what reality is and how they would feel if they were directly affected by the cheating. It's just like, I mean, it's such a dopey opinion. It's not even worth discussing the legitimacy of it.
You can't be more mad at Mike Fiers than the cheaters.
Of course.
And if you're mad at Mike Fiers, then you actually, to me, you can't then be mad at the Astros for cheating. You can't have it both ways. You can't be mad at both of them. Like, if you think Fiers is a snitch, that means you think that he should have protected the Astros forever, like you said, and let them continue to cheat, because that's what would have happened here, because baseball was clearly inept or choosing not to actually make them stop, that he forced all of this. So if you're mad at him, you can't then be mad at the Astros, because then they become the victims in your mind. Because he outed them and he broke the code. And I get the disconnect. It is real. Whatever his motivation is, why he changed his mind, I get that he benefited from the cheating and only spoke up afterwards. but you don't need to say that out loud. And David Ortiz in particular, anyone associated with baseball, like Jessica Mendoza, like Ortiz, like anybody else, you can't say it out loud. You just can't.
Well, even if you think it, it's dope.
That's totally fine, too.
It's totally dopey rationalization. So then I would say that David Ortiz and Jessica Mendoza and Pedro Martinez should have their houses broken into, have all of their possessions stolen, and then they should say, and I don't want the criminals ever to speak about this. I don't want anybody to ever, if you stole all my stuff, I want you to stay silent because that's the code of thieves. I know you did something wrong. I know that you realize you did something wrong. I don't want to know about it because that's snitching on your fellow thieves.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. It's the dopiest argument about this.
And with all of these players thumping their chest, I would do this, I would do that if I knew what was coming. Now, to the extent of the Astros cheating, most likely not. But I would think to a man, all of them know of a teammate or themselves lived in the gray area somewhere and kept that quiet and didn't say, guys, we're going to do this on the up and up. Come on. Whether it's, you know, Ortiz's possible direct connection to PEDs.
Come on.
Or little stuff. Everyone has broken some kind of rule somewhere, has always lived outside the lines. And this is different. I get it. But you got to be careful when you're the tough guy talking down to the Astros when there's some form of skeleton in almost every single closet.
Totally. I can't wait for the Red Sox to probably be popped for cheating now. Then what's David Ortiz going to say?
Right.
His organization probably did the cheating. I mean, if Dale Murphy comes forward and you know that he just drank milk every day for his entire career, he's like, hey, man, I'm totally against PEDs. You're like, oh, yeah, I can believe that guy. I mean, David Ortiz is telling us about, you know.
Yeah.
Integrity. Andrew Bogus is in with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. So we joked about James Paxton. We teased about
Aaron Judge's
shoulder, but this might be serious, so no laughing. Yankees righty Luis Severino shut down with right forearm tightness. The issue apparently dates back to the ALCS. Two MRIs and one CT scan were clean this winter, but the pain continues whenever Severino throws his changeup. So GM Brian Cashman is confused and worried.
I'm not saying that we're not going to have Sevy, but I can't represent either we will yet because we're going to back off completely and take the doctor's orders. And if we have to get more people involved, so be it too.
This is early for the injury bug to already have hit the Yankees again.
Yeah.
Can this organization just get a break for once? It never
ends. For once,
ends.
You're right. They deserve
it. No, last year riddled with injuries. The Astros cheating the year before. It doesn't end with the bad luck with this team. Enough is enough.
Paxton and Severino. This was supposed to be the four-train four.
Mm. Yeah, we got two of them left.
Looks like you guys are going to be taking on water all season long.
No, they're going to be fine. Jordan Montgomery now is an ace. Mm-hmm.
We're expecting Cleveland to update us today on righty Carlos Carrasco. He went for an MRI yesterday after feeling pain in his right leg during a workout on Wednesday. Nets guard Kyrie Irving will play only 20 games in year one in Brooklyn. He's headed for season-ending right shoulder surgery. The announcement made before his team built a 20-point lead, then lost in OT in Philly, 112-104. Joel Embiid led that Philly rally, 39 points and 16 boards.
Joel Embiid was our bell ringer tonight for obvious reasons. He was dominant.
Dominant. Brett Brown's team is now 26-2 home.
He's like doing a bad Gettleman impersonation. He's a bell ringer.
Ringer. Giannis, 33-16. His Bucks rolled through Detroit last night, 126-106. Trae Young returned from the All-Star break with a career-high 50. His Hawks held off the Heat, 129-124. Memphis losing in Sacramento, 129-125. And the Warriors took a 135-105 home loss from the Rockets. Steph Curry's bulge didn't score, but did block two shots.
Good for Dell.
College Hoops, second-ranked Gonzaga pushed its win streak to 19, 71-54 over San Francisco. And number 23, BYU, beat Santa Clara, 85-75. The Cougars and the Zags played this weekend. Number 14, Oregon, losing at Arizona State, 77-72. Number 24, Arizona, beat Oregon State, 89-63. It'll be even easier for NFL players to smoke weed during the pending CBA, but unfortunately... Nice. For Greg Robinson, allegedly transporting a jacolone of hashish would still be a major violation. player reps will discuss and maybe vote on this new potential CBA later today. The owners approved it non-unanimously yesterday.
So Greg Robinson should be alerted that even under the new CBA, you can smoke a lot of weed, but you still can't have a Jocalone's worth across state borders.
You, I think theoretically you could smoke a Jocalone as long as it's not within the first 2 weeks of training camp, or giving yourself a little time to get it out of your system before that two-week testing window. But no, you probably shouldn't pack the Jocalone of weed into a van or a truck and try and drive it near the Mexican border. Mm.
Robinson had 157 pounds of weed at the Mexican border. We found that out to be almost identical to the weight of assistant producer Billy Jocalone.
Yeah.
Who comes in at 5'6", 155.
Although he did, I believe, have a donut this morning on Donut Friday, so we could be at the full 157 now.
And a Friday night is coming up here, so that's a couple of Bud Lights. We know he's inching closer to 157. That would be a full Jocalone.
Yeah, I think that's his goal before March 1st, is to become a full Jocalone's worth of weed.
The Lions are releasing D-tackle Damon Snacks Harrison. Chiefs OC Eric Bieniemy has apparently formally turned down the Colorado head coaching job. And the Tampa Bay Lightning's 11-game win streak ends in Vegas 5-3. So now we can be...
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Now, this one has been in the mainstream media earlier this week, so you might have already heard about this, but 53-year-old Dagmar Turner had a brain tumor removed recently in a London hospital. During the procedure, doctors had Turner play her violin.
What?
Yeah, she's on an operating table, lifted up a little bit. They are operating on her brain, taking out a tumor. She's got her violin in her hand, and she is strumming away.
No.
What?
Because the tumor, and now I've seen this before. There are times during brain surgery where the doctors will wake you up and have you talk or move to make sure they have not damaged another part of your brain while they're taking the tumor out.
Really?
And the issue here was this tumor was up against the part of her brain that helps control her left hand, which she would need for the violin. At times, there was the width of a credit card between good brain and tumor. So they had her at times play the violin to make sure they were not messing with her motor skills.
Whoa.
They got 90% of it out. She is home, resting. Treatment continues. But the picture of this lady in the operating table,
unreal,
violin in her hand with a big, plastic sheet for the back of her head, and there's doctors digging away. It's ridiculous.
You've got to be kidding me.
All true.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So she was able, during a brain surgery, to continue to play her violin.
She's awake with her head cut open and scalpels and things in her head, and she's playing the violin.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
I feel like I have brain freeze after eating ice cream hearing that story right now. It's,
okay, so number one, forget tough guys and snitches and all this stupid alpha male machismo testosterone nonsense. That is one of the toughest people on the face of the earth.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, obviously, she's feeling nothing, but I don't know how she's awake but also numb to her head being open.
So just think about being so fearless.
Right.
That you are aware that your head is being operated on and you can focus on playing the violin. That is a next level type of focus and mental discipline. That's an amazing skill.
She must be fasting.
Are you telling me that half the NFL would be able to play a violin while having their brain worked on? I mean, come on.
No chance.
I couldn't play a violin, period.
Do we have a set list?
This woman is incredible. Number two, I'm glad that we reward heroes out there. I'm glad that we recognize heroes in law enforcement and, the military, etc. We don't reward and acknowledge those people enough. The surgeons that are within a credit card's width of killing a human being.
Or at least handicapping her. And disabling her.
And doing it to that tenth of a centimeter of a degree to save their lives? I mean, that is truly heroic stuff.
I'm always amazed, too, and think of the person whose idea it was originally. Like, you know what we should do while I have Nancy's head open? I should wake her up and see if she can talk still. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea, Doc. Let's do that.
And how many mistaken brain surgeries were there in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s to get to the point where
they're just yanking chunks out thinking that was the problem?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And where we finally got to a point where you know to the width of a credit card where the line is that you need to work on.
Yeah, apparently they went hours and hours before the surgery of her playing the violin, tracking her brain.
Oh my goodness.
To see where where everything was lighting up and activating so they knew where they could go and not go.
Give the doctors credit here too, because there's nothing worse than listening to a violin for more than 3 minutes, and they had to go hours listening to this lady play the violin. And look, I'm sure she's great for violin.
Here's another cultured point from Sean.
No, because there is nothing worse than having to go to your kid or somebody's kid's, the orchestra concert.
She's been playing since she was 10. Connor, she's not an 8-year-old stumbling through the recorder at school.
No.
I'd also like you to mark that tape, because when Taylor is 10 years old and he's got to go to something, I want to play that on the air.
She ain't playing the cello, the violin, the violet, or whatever the other string ornaments are.
Not with you as her dad.
No, ornaments? Absolutely not. She wants to play the trumpet, she can play the trumpet. She's not playing a string instrument. And look, I think there's a lot of people who are great at the violin. I'm just saying, you can't listen to a violin for more than 3 minutes, you go crazy. You feel like you're on the Titanic. So doing that while performing brain surgery, you got to give the doctors credit there, because you'd be going nuts. I mean, shut up, lady, already. I'm tired of hearing the violin.
Not to get too far away from the amazing doctors and this lady, but again, his point is based on a children's school concert and the band in a movie.
That's right.
Playing on the sinking, fictitious Titanic.
I've seen the Boston Pops on the 4th of July, too. Overrated.
Your opinions on everything mean nothing.
What a take.
I mean, seriously.
What a take. And that is Stunned to a News. Thank you, Andrew. When we come back, Tua Tagovailoa says if he could play for any team, he'd like to play for the Dallas Cowboys. They're right now in a contract standoff with Dak Prescott. Is there a possibility the two shall meet? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Either accept who I am or don't. This is a disgrace that I've been cornered this way. I've had it. You know what? Tomorrow I'm getting bagels. I'm going to eat all six. None of you guys get one. My fingers are no good for anybody. You're out. Get you all out. It's just enough. Pick a lane.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. The DA Show is available in podcast form. Anything that you may have missed or want to hear again, you can listen to with full hours. All full 4 hours are available in podcast form. But also now we have a best of, a condensed version of the DA, which is about an hour to an hour and a half every single day. So you can check out both of those options wherever podcasts are downloaded. That includes Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, and other places. It also includes our website, CBSSportsRadio.com. So CBSSports.com has an updated mock draft where Joe Burrow goes number one to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, this mock draft was updated 17 hours ago, so this is fresh. This is some fresh fish right here. Number two, Washington trades out of the pick. The Dolphins trade into number two to take Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay. I like this.
Number three, the Detroit Lions take edge rusher Chase Young out of Ohio State.
Damn.
Number four, the New York Giants select Iowa offensive lineman Tristan Wirfs.
I mean, are we going to fix the defense or not?
You don't like the Wirfs selection here?
No, because if you're going to do that trade back to a team that wants Herbert, you have plenty of offensive linemen. Get Isaiah Simmons in that spot.
So Washington, having traded out of the number two pick, slides down to number five and selects linebacker Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson.
I'm out.
The Chargers, at number six to select Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert. Why are you out already?
because this stooge, Dave Gettleman, lets Washington make the maneuver to trade somebody, and then instead of taking the best defensive player on the board when you can't stop a lick, you allow him one pick later to go to your division rival to take a guy with the last name of Wirfs, who might be worthless when there's a million offensive linemen to take. Trade back. You tell me the Chargers threaten. Call the Chargers. Say, you want Herbert? We got teams calling up for him. Come up and get him. And then we can trade back, accumulate picks, and we can take Wirfs then. You don't sit at four and you take Wirfs. It's a disaster.
So you're fired up right now and pissed at Dave Gettleman for a mock draft that came out 17 hours ago.
It feels real.
In late February.
It feels real. Oh, I've seen this. It feels real. What a disaster this draft's going to be. Disaster.
You're already convinced that this mock draft is exactly what is going to happen.
I literally could shut my eyes and I could picture everybody swimming up in their rowboats at the Mirage or wherever the heck they're having this, and this unfolding, and Isaiah Simmons tormenting Daniel Jones for the next 15 years, and Wirfs can't block a lick. I could already see it.
So, in this scenario, the Dolphins have traded up to get the Miami Dolphins QB Tua Tagovailoa. The Dolphins have traded up to get Alabama's quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Now, this is interesting because the Dallas Cowboys are right now in a contract standoff with Dak Prescott. We assume that it gets done here soon, but who knows? Maybe it does not. Maybe they cannot find the middle ground here. Now, Tua told the NFL Network, "We've looked at teams. We've talked about teams. We've talked to teams. Somebody might trade up and you could possibly drop or you could possibly go higher. We've been talking about all of these scenarios. If you're saying to me, if I can choose what team I want to play on as far as my favorite team growing up, then I'd probably tell you the Cowboys." Now, the Cowboys are at number 17, so there's likely no way, unless these physicals come back and they're a disaster for Tua, that he's going to drop all the way to number 17. What if, though, they re-signed Dak Prescott and they did find a way to acquire Tua? Tua said, "I'm not trying to bump him. I'll learn under him. I'd handle it the way that the coaches there want to handle it. Honestly, I just want to be able to play again. I wouldn't mind learning under whatever guy that's a starter. Give me a whole year to rest up and then go back out and compete. But I just want to go back out and play." So this is interesting because what if the Dallas Cowboys reach next month and they're like, wow, we're really far apart. What if they reach early April and they're going, Dak wants $40 million a year. We're not paying him $40 million a year. We're more at $30 million a year. He wants 40, or he wants 38 and we're at 28. There's no way to make up that difference. Is it worth it for us to trade up to acquire Tua Tagovailoa? I mean, think about it. You would have to likely redshirt Tua a year. You would not know if he could handle the rigors of playing in the NFL as he's rehabbing a hip within a couple of months. But could you get a stopgap in there for 1 year and then have Tua take over on a rookie deal in 2021. You then don't have to pay Dak Prescott his $30 million a year right now and break the bank. And you know Jerry loved the idea of a star like Tua being his guy. You know, there is a way to make this happen. Now, I'm not advising the Cowboys to trade all of their draft collateral just because a guy grew up liking you, but the Cowboys own all of their picks except the sixth rounder this year. So if hypothetically they wanted to give up their first pick overall, which is 17th, and give up their second round pick, and give up their third round pick, and their fourth round pick, they could. Now, if they wanted to do something like this year's one, which is 17 overall, and next year's one, they could do that. They could give up three number ones, this year's one and a number one in 2021 and a number one in 2022. They could give up a one this year, their 17th overall, and a two, and next year's one and two. There is a way to make this happen where the Cowboys then don't break the bank for Dak, draft Tua Tagovailoa, and instead can spend money and have all the money to keep re-signing those free agents and veterans that they already have drafted and developed.
And Jerry Jones dies years later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.